it's important to understand that the giants that were produced from the sexual union of the Watchers and women in Genesis 6 and in the Book of Enoch and the Book of Giants, those entities were judged before the flood. That after they perished in the flood, I do believe some of them escaped. So did David Flynn, by the way.
Yep.
The grand majority, the vast majority, perished in the flood. And after they perished in the flood, not just the giants, but also all of the host of other sentient entities that came as a result of the fallen angels having intercourse with animals, that their spirits, but specifically the giants, I don't know actually about the other entities, but specifically the spirits of those giants that were a result of fallen angel with human woman, with angels with women, that those spirits were judged in the Book of Enoch, that they would have to wander the earth bodiless, and that they would be called unclean spirits. That they would be
Yep.
called evil spirits, evil or slash unclean spirits on the earth, and that they would hate humanity, especially the women from whom they proceeded. By the way, the women were turned into sirens, according to the Book of Enoch. And there's a whole deal with that, but
Yeah.
these entities, the spirits of these giants would wander the earth bodiless, that they would basically, in a paraphrasing what it says there, they will be hungry, thirsty, have sexual desires, but they won't have bodies to fulfill those things. So they'll be bereft of their bodies, but they'll have all the desires. Imagine being hungry, but not having a body to fulfill your hunger. Or being sexually charged, but not having any way to fulfill your sexual desires, or being thirsty and not having any way to fulfill your thirst. That's what these entities, these spirits, were sentenced to, that kind of a reality. Those became the possessing spirits. Those were the same unclean spirits that Jesus would cast out of people. And they
Yeah.
knew that the Son of God was coming to judge them at some point in time. That's when Jesus appeared on the earth, they came running to him, and they declared in more than one occasion, "We know who you are. Why have you come to judge us before the appointed time?" And Jesus told them to shut up. And so those are clearly the spirits of the giants, clearly, from the Book of Enoch. So that tells us what those unclean spirits are and why, which was always a mystery to me, before I came upon the works of Steve Quayle in the Book of Enoch, was a mystery to me why unclean spirits with whom I had to deal with, not personally, but in other people, wanted to inhabit the bodies of human beings to begin with. Never understood that. Why do you want to be in there in the first place? Why do these entities come in mass, not just one or two, but sometimes hosts of them will inhabit one human body? Why? What is the appeal there? It made no sense until you realize that they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're sexually charged, they're bereft of bodies. So what do they want? Bodies to fulfill the lust of their flesh, to have flesh to fulfill the lust of flesh. That's why when they inhabit people, if you've ever encountered a really, really demonically possessed person, you will find that there's always both the entities inside of them are both using the body as a source of pleasure, but are also utilizing that body, are tormenting that body, presumably because of jealousy or wrath against that body because they don't have one. So that's the very important component when understanding what demon possession is. Those are unclean spirits, the very same that were the spirits of the giants before they perished. Angel encompasses a whole thing, a whole buffet of things, of creatures. Well, I think
Yeah.
the term demon also incorporates a whole buffet of creatures. Specifically, though, unclean spirits are directly linked to the spirits of the giants. And possibly to the spirits of the other creatures that were came through the union, the sexual union of the fallen angels with other creatures. So demon, in at least in my opinion, represents a whole lot of things, not just one specific thing, but a whole lot of things. Whereas unclean spirit is directly referencing something very specific. And that's one of the mental strongholds that Christians have to get over, is this Sunday school indoctrination, which most of us have grown up, if we've grown up in church, have been in Sunday school, coloring the happy face, sandal clad character of Noah or somebody from before the flood. And so when we grow up, we naturally progress through life with this idea that the people who lived before the flood were just sort of primitive guys walking around in robes and sandals. And, you know, that's all there was to it, right? Because that's what we were taught in Sunday school. And it's never redressed, is it? It's never really redressed as you progress through, you know, you graduate, I guess, from Sunday school to normal church life. Those things that are seated in you in a very supercilious and puerile fashion, in other words, infantile fashion, are never redressed when you start dealing with the real deep, weighty things of Scripture, if that makes sense. It's a very complex situation because there's all kinds of creatures that were generated in the pre-flood world because of the promiscuous activity of fallen angels, the Watchers. This, by the way, the Watchers specifically refers to a very unique kind of class of angel, and they and even the good angels are called Watchers at one point. These just happen to be fallen Watchers. So this group 200 beings from a class of angels designated as Watchers, not just in the pseudepigraphical or the apocryphal works, but also in the book of Daniel. And these guys, 200 of them, specifically came down in the days of Jared and began to screw around with the genetics of life on Earth. I believe on one hand, they were just having a, how can I say this without it being too debauched? they were having a good time with a lot of things other than human women, right, as evidenced in the Book of Giants. But at the same time, outside of a physical pleasure kind of a realm, because they did want that. If you read the Book of Enoch carefully, you will see that it was a carnal desire. By the way, Paul says that women should cover their hair when they pray for the sake of the angels. Now, I'm not making a case here that women need to cover their heads when they pray. But what is it about when women pray? That's interesting, because that seems to indicate, little rabbit trail here, that it seems to indicate that when we pray, we become visible to angels. Isn't that interesting? But then also, yeah, that angels can be are for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason can be attracted to females. Doesn't say nothing about males, by the way, females. And specifically their hair. They find their hair very attractive. That's what it says. Deal with it. But yeah. So there's a lustful component there to these Watchers. They had sexual relations with a lot of things outside of human beings. It created a whole mess of sentient, prohibited, unsanctioned creatures on the earth that were never supposed to exist. God didn't create them, didn't plan for them to exist. They didn't come from his design. They came from this act of insubordination and rebellion. So you have all these creatures, many of which I think were many times smarter, more intelligent than humans, because they had their origins. They had components of angelic genes. That whole mess that happened in the pre-flood world, excluding the possibility of stuff happening in the pre-Adamic world, okay? And excluding the possibility of something strange genetically going on with Cain. Put those two things aside. Just deal with these fallen angels and what they did. That whole mess is, I believe, the prime origin for a lot of the little things flying around in saucers and in other craft. It's not exclusively the origin, but I think it's primarily the origin. I believe there is pre-Adamic stuff going on. I believe there is stuff going on with Cain, but You add all of that together, and you've got such a complex, compartmentalized mess to deal with that it explains on one hand, but then it just creates a whole host of new questions on the other hand. And that's, I don't claim to have the answers for that stuff. I've got way more questions than I do answers concerning, for example, what about this species that seems to be living under the ground? You mentioned Hollow Earth. Okay, so there definitely seems to be a group of creatures, sentient. When I say sentient, I mean they're self-aware. They're like us. They can think, they can reason, living under the earth. And of course, the obvious question becomes, well, if all these things are smarter and stronger than us, then why don't they just take over?
Yeah.
The short answer is because God doesn't allow them to. And that is also evident in the Bible and in the Book of Enoch. And it has to do with human authority that was given to us over the face of the earth, over every beast of the field and bird and so forth, to take dominion. We have the keys. So there's a lot of creatures under the earth, on the surface of the earth, up in the atmosphere, possibly on other planets. I know a lot of people are starting to subscribe to flat earth. I don't chide them for that, but I personally do not. I do believe in a secret space program. I do believe Mars is absolutely essential to understanding a lot of this. Again, I don't get down on people if they believe in flat earth. I personally do not, for a handful of reasons. You've got a lot more questions than answers, and I'm right with everybody asking those questions.